Well, Jesus was on the cross. He uttered seven sayings. And I would like to spend just a few moments reflecting on each of these. The first saying is found in Luke 23:34, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. It's a fair question to ask, to whom is Jesus praying for forgiveness? Of course, we usually assume it is for the executioner. This in itself would be amazing. Can you imagine being completely innocent and praying that the person putting you to death would be forgiven by the Father? But there would have also been those in authority who could have stopped it at any time. The Roman governor and others in authority. But there were also temple priests and the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, who knew he had done no wrong. Perhaps it was for the throngs of people who one day cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and the next argued for Barabbas and cried out, "Crucify him." Perhaps his band of disciples that walked with him faithfully for the longest and knew him the best. But when it was time, they were gone. Peter had denied him. Judas had betrayed him, and the rest had scattered. The reality is that the only innocent person on the scene and on the planet was Jesus himself. Everyone else needed forgiveness. It was his act on the cross that would make that possible. The second word is found in Luke 23:43. And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Here the creator of all creation brings salvation down to a personal level. Hung between two thieves, one mocked him and the other recognized him for who he was. In fulfillment of Isaiah 53:12, it says, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered among the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." He turns to the thief on the cross. While one is mocking him, the other, he turns and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And offers what only he can offer, salvation. The third phrase that Jesus offers from the cross is found in John 19, verses 26 through 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. The second word from the cross ministered salvation to the penitent sinner. But the third introduces us to the wider implications of this great salvation. It illuminates the relationships as seen through the cross of Jesus, especially that of love. At the very heart of the gospel is this concept of love. As believers in Christ, we are all members of one family. The fourth statement from the cross is found in Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" There is a depth of feeling in this cry from the heart, made with an intensity matched only by the darkness which had draped itself over the terrible spectacle. It's surely symbolic that the sun couldn't shine upon such a scene as the crucifixion of its creator. All the sin of the world, the awful legacy of the fall of mankind, was laid upon Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, he made himself to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The fifth phrase uttered from the cross was found in John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, "I thirst." The hours of torture on the cross took a tremendous toll on the body of Jesus. Execution by crucifixion was not a sudden death, like being shot. It was a long, drawn-out, lingering death carried out under the eastern sun. His wounded hands and feet would be quickly inflamed, resulting in a fever of thirst. His body would soon be dehydrated. The prophetic 22nd Psalm, which anticipated our Lord's passion, speaks graphically of his condition. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned like a post shard. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth." Yes, our Savior's sufferings were real. Although Jesus was divine, he was also uniquely man and felt all of the emotions and pain as we feel them. Jesus had earlier refused to drink the wine that they had been offered. That was meant to ease his suffering and to ease his pain. But now his mission almost complete, his cry of thirst could be met from a sponge dipped in wine vinegar. In fact, it was necessary that his lips should be moistened because he had yet two momentous words to utter. The world must hear clearly. The second reason was to fulfill the scripture that said in Psalm 69:21, "They gave me vinegar for my thirst." Jesus knew for him to do his Father's will required him to fulfill all that had been prophesied. The sixth phrase uttered from the cross is found in John 19:30. "It is finished." With this, Jesus declares the completion of so many things: his suffering on the cross, his time on earth, the end of the priesthood of the temple and the need for sacrifice, everything that had been established that the faithful would have to accomplish. The Old Testament was fulfilled. "It is finished." The word tells us there's nothing left for man to do, but to enter through Christ's finished work. The word here that is used in the Greek was a business word that was used during the time of Christ. And it literally means to declare that a debt has been paid in full. The seventh phrase uttered from the cross is found in Luke 23:46. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus's life was not taken. In fact, he had previously said in John 10:17-18, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father." And so it was that Jesus consciously gave his life. He laid it upon the altar, just as the burnt offering of the Old Testament which had been spoken of the greater sacrifice to come. Jesus gave his life so that we may be reconciled to the Father. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. The prophet Zechariah looked forward to the coming of Jesus when he said, "On that day a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity." Have you been to the cross? The cross meant death for Jesus, but praise God, it is the place where life is ministered to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us together this evening. Although distant from each other, we are yet one family. We're one family because of the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus on the cross. That which we have come together this evening to remember and to meditate upon. Father, we thank you that you provided us a way through which we could be reconciled to you. We thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Truly, you are an awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.